Ready for a nap? Here's what I love about this. No matter what type of music it is, there's something about music that speaks to us. And that's a very human experience all throughout human history. And Bach was a master of this. In fact, sometimes his music is almost described as mathematical because of how carefully he constructs each note, how they tie together, where they diverge, and where they meet up again. And many think that part of his impact and influence as one of the greatest composers of all time is because of the way his music touches both parts of your brain, both the emotional, the creative, and the logical. So the reality is that, in a sense, music really does speak to us. And what is it saying? And when you think of that as a human experience, I don't know if you know this, but when they launched Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 in 1977, both of those spacecraft had golden records attached to them. And on those records is information about Earth. They drew kind of a chart of what we look like in the solar system. And they had sounds, music, over 50 greetings in different languages from around the world, sounds of different animals, and 27 pieces of music that can be played on this golden record. 27 pieces of music to represent all of human history and all over the globe. So Louis Armstrong made the cut. Johnny B. Goode is there to represent rock and roll. There are tribal drums from different places around the world. And as we think about our maestros, there is one piece on there from Mozart, two from Beethoven, and three from Johann Sebastian Bach. 27 pieces to represent all of humanity, and three of them, as the committee sat and said, if we're launching this into space, like if the X-Files is right and there really is something out there, and it's like 25 billion miles away right now, when you go on NASA's website and say, where is Voyager? So out in the middle of space somewhere, if somebody ever dug it up and wanted to know what humanity was like, we have to put, but there's only 27, I know, but we have to. Three pieces by Bach, more than anyone else. What made him so special? What made him unique? He was a master of counterpoint. He was a master of math and music. But if you asked him what was so special about his music, this is what he would say. The aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. Bach believed that what he was doing more than anything else was simply taking what God had given him and giving it back to God. And so you notice what he's describing here, it really has two different pieces to it. It is for the glory of God, right? Like a celebration of who God is. That's really what it means to give God glory. But also the refreshment of the soul. Like music is good for us. And so when you read a quote like that and you see a picture like this, Bach is my favorite, but man, these guys and these wigs and like every picture is like with your hand in your sleeve, you know, and it just seems a little stiff-necked. So I love that another one of his famous quotes, Bach also said that without my morning coffee, I'm just like a dried up piece of roast goat. And all of a sudden, I feel like we can relate to each other again. In fact, here's the fun thing about Bach. Like, when you read about his life, like, he's almost could have been a comedian instead of a musician. He actually wrote an entire cantata about coffee addiction. It's like this whole, like, mini opera story about a dad trying to help his 18-year-old daughter not drink so much coffee. Imagine if he was driving around today with a Starbucks and a Dunkin' on every corner, right? I show you that just to show you that oftentimes we get these caricatures of people, of maestros in history, as if they're just one highfalutin kind of thing. But he's a regular guy, engaging music just like we do, crafting it maybe in a way that I couldn't, but trying to search and explore the same things that we are. Is it possible that even music could connect me to God? As I told you, that's kind of a human experience. And that's been happening for thousands of years. In fact, did you know that the Bible is loaded with music? It doesn't have the sheet music. You won't see the notes to play. But there are songs all over this book. From cover to cover, you see people singing. And one of the books in here, so if you didn't know this, this is actually 66 different books collected into one library we call the Bible. And one of those books is the Book of Psalms, which is a collection of 150 different songs with all of the lyrics written out. And so I want to show you Psalm 100, because this one captures really, I think, what Bach was trying to get after. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." You know, one of Bach's most famous pieces is a song called Jesu Joy, which simply means Jesus' joy. Well, that's the same thing the psalmist is talking about here. What if coming into the presence of God wasn't a dirge, wasn't dull and boring and painful? What if it was joyful, filled with gladness and singing? And I love the way it describes this, because throughout the Bible, when you see a lot of this music, there are places where it calls for, like, play the instruments skillfully, right? It says, play the strings well, with excellence, like we heard on the harp. Or Mike over here with the twin neck guitar. You know, it says to sing skillfully, like we just heard Melissa do right here at center stage. So I love that it starts with make a joyful shout, because I can't play guitar very well, let alone a twin neck guitar. I'm not even going to pretend with the harp. We'll leave that to Leah. I can shout. I can make a big, loud, happy noise, right? Like, this is an invitation for everybody, not just for musicians. So think about it more like when you're at the Reds game in the seventh inning stretch, or after the Bengals score a touchdown and everybody starts singing that Bengals growl fight song. Like, that's the kind of energy that Psalm 100 is picturing. It's not, praise God from whom all. No, it's like, praise God, this is great. There's something to celebrate about who the Lord is. That this is something that's exciting, it's dynamic, it's beautiful, it brings joy. And it also says, come before his presence. Now, you don't want to miss that, because there are two things just in these three lines of lyrics that are incredibly personal with God. One of them is, you notice I keep saying God, but it actually says Lord in the lyrics. Well, those are the same person, but Lord is our translation of the personal name that God gave to his people. He said, you can call me God, but I'd love it if you've called me Lord. That we are invited into the presence of God himself. Now, as you hear that, maybe like me, maybe like Bach, as you explore that, well, what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? Because I can't see him. I can't hear him. I'm exploring. I'm asking questions. I'm looking for evidence about him. What if joy is a key part of that? What if music is a key part of that? What if that's part of how he lets us hear him? And so I think the psalmist who wrote this song, as well as Bach, would encourage us, rejoice yourself. Connect to God through music. Because, of course, every single one of us, that psalmist included, Bach included, not all of our moments are joyful, right? I have no idea what happened to you this week. I have no idea what you've been struggling with for the last 6 months. Maybe you woke up joyful this morning and you were like, hey, I'm going to Horizon today. And then somebody texted you and you're like, argh. Maybe you're watching the news. And this guy's going to stand up here and talk about peace and joy. You see, part of what we're being encouraged to do is when he says, hey, come into his presence. Like when you gather in this place, when you use the music that way, it's almost like everything else becomes the outside and the reality is before us, that there is still joy in the presence of God because of who he is. That the music helps us reconnect, that it speaks to us in a way that even our words can't. And we need that. Right? Like in the song that Melissa sang where it says, you know, this girl's just having this terrible day. But man, she's hoping that song comes on because it reminds us something. It picks us back up. It makes me feel like maybe things can be good after all. You know, my friend Matt has really been on a journey the last few years of his life. And I didn't meet him until he came to Horizon. But he told me that he kind of grew up in a spiritual environment. And that's how he knew he didn't really want too much to do with spirituality. Like, the kind of the main thing he sort of picked up about God was that he's not that much fun. And if you do find fun things to do, he's probably telling you to stop it. So he was kind of chose the fun things instead of God. But as he went through his life, and then he and his wife had kids, he thought, well, you know, I want to give my kids a lot of experiences. I want to make sure they can try out sports. I want to make sure they can play different instruments. And I should probably expose them to religion just so that they're well-rounded individuals. And so they showed up here at Horizon. And he started coming to the Exploring Service, and he's sort of, you know, the one that we're sitting in right now. And he thought, well, this isn't so bad, and I really like the music. And the music started to speak to him a little bit. Well, he went on a journey, and part of that was he really started digging in to read the Bible, because now his kids were bringing stuff home that they were hearing and stuff that he was hearing that sounded like, maybe that's different than what I thought God was. And as he went on that journey, he ended up becoming a follower of Christ. And so then he took a wild risk. You ready for this? He decided to try the equipping service. So if you didn't know, we actually have another completely different service every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 9:45, still teaching through the Bible. In that service, we'll take a book of the Bible, you know, something like Psalms or like Matthew, you know, one of the biographies of Jesus, and just teach straight through it every week. Just do the next piece. The other difference, though, is that we have what we call worship music, which is a little bit different. Worship music is essentially music that is written about God directly or to God directly, where you might sing something like, "Thank you, God." So when Matt first started going to the equipping service, he said, "Yeah, I'm really loving it. I'm learning so much from the Bible. I mean, you know, the music, you know. I really like the music in the Exploring Service." And he said what was really funny to him was then he would find, though, that throughout the week, even if that music didn't feel like it was quite his style, he noticed that lines from the songs were sticking in his head. Then melodies from the songs started sticking in his head. Then he would just look up a song real quick on YouTube sometime during the week, and before he knew it, he's putting them on his Spotify. He said, "I guess I have a new favorite kind of music now." And the reason was that the truth that was coming through those things and the way it was helping explain God to him, he felt like it was helping him connect to God in a different way. And so one of the things that I would encourage you just to consider is think about what it would look like to explore some worship music. And you can actually do that through our website and through our app. So you can absolutely do that by checking out an equipping service. And if that's something that you've been thinking about, hey, go for it. Come see what it's like. Don't feel like you have to sing if you want to just sit and listen. But you can also do that by jumping on the website or on our app. There's actually a block on the app that says worship. And when you click that, you'll see the same band that you're familiar with. Kenny will be up there leading, Neil, Katya, but singing songs to and about God. It's such an easy way to try out that kind of music and just see. Like, if you try it this week, sometime this week, find time, listen to a little bit of that, and see what it might reveal to you about God that you didn't know that that's what he's like. Or if there might be a line that encourages you in a moment that you need peace this week. Because that's really what Psalm 100 is all about. It's not just, so go shout and sing and be joy and be glad. The idea is because of who God is. And so when you look at the fifth line of lyrics in that song, it says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." See, the reason that they thought they could come in and rejoice no matter what was happening in life around them was because here's something they always knew was true. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Now, isn't that the kind of God you would want to connect with? And for some of us, maybe that's a very different way than we pictured God. That his desire for me is, am I getting this right? Joy, gladness, great music, goodness, truth that lasts forever. See, this is who God is. This is who Bach knew God to be. This is who he wanted us to know that God is. And there's one word in here particular that I want to dig in a little deeper. It's this word mercy. That is the Hebrew word chesed. So if you can say Johann Sebastian Bach, you can say chesed. It's got that kind of guttural H in the back of your throat. This word is all over the Bible in Hebrew. And it's really hard to translate because it has such a broad meaning of so many good kinds of things. So sometimes it gets translated loving kindness. Sometimes it gets translated steadfast love. Sometimes it gets translated mercy, the idea that we might deserve punishment, but God wants us to see, to show us forgiveness and love instead. And so when you see that little word, it's trying to capture a God-sized love towards you, kindness towards you, forgiveness towards you, mercy towards you, steadfastness towards you, which is why I love that this also includes words like everlasting and endures to all generations. Because you know that when you run to Kroger and buy a gallon of milk, how long does that last? A couple weeks? And then you can still drink it if you want. Nobody's going to stop you, but it has chunks in it, and I'll let you figure it out from there. Right? What if God's love had an expiration date? What if he gave you 2 weeks worth of joy and said, hey, I hope that's enough for you because I got to kind of spread this out. There's a lot of people on planet Earth. But it says he's giving us something everlasting. He's offering something that goes from generation to generation to generation. And if you can hear this, even beyond this life. That is what Johann Sebastian Bach believed. In fact, much of his career, he was not very well known. Only once, when he worked for Prince Leopold, was he really kind of a popular musician. A lot of the times, by choice, he was composing in different churches because he wanted a place to try to help people connect to this kind of God. That's why one of the most famous pieces that we know him for is Jesu Joy. I mentioned that one earlier, a title that is not hard to decipher, simply means Jesus joy. But I wanted you to see the lyrics, because many times we don't hear these lyrics or we hear them in another language, and even the lyrics that you may be most familiar with if you pull them up on YouTube aren't the original lyrics. He actually took the lyrics from a German poem and set them to music, and this is how they're translated. What joy for me that I have Jesus. Oh, how firmly I hold on to him so that he may make my heart rejoice when I am sick and mournful. I have Jesus who loves me. It was so compelling to me that these are the words that he chose to write this song to. Because now it's getting really personal, right? We're not just talking about God as maybe like a thing out there somewhere. He's saying, no, I believe that that is Jesus. That Jesus was God in the flesh, and that the joy I have is because I have Jesus. And honestly, I've wrestled with this week, like how exactly do you even explain that except just to say it? Because I live so much of my life chasing joy in so many other places. And if I just had this success at work, and if I just had that success in sports, and if I just had this success in school, or you name it, and like, hey, today's a good day, stuff went good for me, and that's joyful. But then things crash down, things go wrong, I make mistakes, I mess it up. And if you're like me, you know, some of your mistakes are like, well, I made a mistake, and some of your mistakes are like, I hope nobody ever finds out. Right? Some of the things we do, we just, you know, and some of the things we do, that's what the Bible calls sin. It feels ugly. I don't know, maybe I'm not so joyful after all right now. But the reality of Jesus, the message that the Bible is bringing, is that Jesus offers chesed. See that? It is Jesus who loves me. You could use that same word there. kindness, forgiveness, mercy, love, joy that lasts forever, not only because of what he's offering us, what he wants to do for us, things like eternal life that I don't even know how to wrap my head around, but also because of who he is. You know, we talked about rejoicing yourself. That's something that my wife and I have been on kind of a difficult medical journey with her over the last year, and kind of one of those, well, what is it? It has to be something, you know, kind of things. And as we've been going through that, one of the things that has been amazing to us is how listening to that, just that right song, Like a Yesu Joy, all of a sudden lifts you back up, even though the circumstances haven't changed at all. Because when I don't understand what's going on, and when I have no control over my life, I believe there is somebody who does understand what's going on, who is in control, who is always good, and who has chesed, love for me. And then it's like, you know what? Then I don't have to understand. I can just trust him. In fact, a couple stanzas later in Yesu Joy, Bach also writes these words, Jesus remains my joy, the comfort and life's blood of my heart. Jesus defends me against all sorrows. He is my life's strength. Therefore, I shall not let Jesus go. Can I tell you one more thing about Bach? He saw hardship in life. In fact, in 1720, his wife died suddenly. They still never found out why. He was actually on a business trip with Prince Leopold at the time, and people did not have cell phones in 1720. He didn't know until he got back 2 months later that he'd lost her. 1720, his wife died. 1723, he wrote Yesu Joy with these words. You know, people have been filled with joy by that song for 300 years. Let that peace, let that joy soak in for you. Because the lyrics that Bach chose to write that piece to are actually based on something that Jesus said to us. In the book of John, which is a biography of Jesus' life, in the 15th chapter, Jesus is sitting with his closest friends, literally the night that one of them will betray him to his enemies, who will take him to the cross and kill him in less than 24 hours. Jesus has already told them, I know this is coming. He knows what he's facing literally that night. And this is what he says to them in John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. How in the world is Jesus talking about joy on the day that he is executed? You see, it's all of those things that we celebrated a couple weeks ago. When you hear about Good Friday and we all come in the room for Easter and the shades go up, right? It actually tells us in the Bible that Jesus endured the cross because of the joy set before him. Even though that hardship was before him, he was looking even farther to the fact that because of the way that all of us, present company, worst of all, we fall short of our own standard of what we think a good person should be like. Oh, sometimes I do okay, but if I'm being honest with you, let alone God's perfect standard for what it takes to have a relationship with him. But that's what Jesus died for. He took the penalty for us. He took the punishment on specifically so that we could experience his chesed, his mercy, his love. And he knew that on the other side of his resurrection, that meant he could have relationship with us. It literally tells us that we are Jesus' joy. that that's the reason he went through with it. And so he's telling his friends who don't even realize what's about to happen, even though he's told them, they're like, no, I don't think, he must mean something else. It must be a metaphor. He's telling them, hey, I want my joy to remain in you, and I want your joy to be full. Not a little bit, not a teaspoon, not it runs out in a week. I want you to be joyful. That is the invitation from Jesus directly to us. Not only that we can rejoice ourselves when we need it, but to be joyful by remaining in the joy of Jesus, by recognizing how that relationship not only changes my outlook on life, but it can change my life. And it really just, it starts with understanding how much he loves you. And yes, that's plural, like you all, but that's singular. You. He wants you to be joyful by sharing that joyful relationship with him. And so we're actually going to hear one more song this morning from the band. But just before we do that, we've been talking so much about maestros and reading quotes from people who passed away hundreds of years ago. I thought we should talk to one maestro who we can hear him just talk to us today. So would you welcome our own Kenny Cowden out to the stage? He told me, do not call me a maestro. And I did it anyway.
Yeah, thanks for calling me a maestro.
I don't listen to anything he tells me. So. Well, the reason I asked Kenny out here is there's pieces of your journey, your story that you have shared with me that as I was listening to Bach's life and how he could take something like, a symphony entirely based on the book of John about Jesus and this cantata about coffee addiction,
right,
and wrap all these kinds of music together to bring glory to God and refreshment to us. And I thought, that kind of sounds like my friend Kenny. So I'd love to just hear a little bit of what has your journey with music been like, from rock star to horizon?
Again, with the terms rock star, never been, but I've been playing for 50 years this year for a living.
Since the day you were born then?
Yeah. Yeah. As a 15, 16-year-old in Cleveland, my band was opening up for bands and clubs when we were in high school. Our dads would be in the back. They'd smoke a cigarette so they could put the filter in their ears because it was so loud. And I never stopped. I kept doing it, and it gave me great joy. My personal journey to faith has always been nature-based and music-based. Mm. But at the time, if I'm being honest, all those early years into my 20s and 30s, what gave me the joy was people clapping and telling me I was great.
Sure.
And as you mentioned in your analogy with milk, that didn't last that long. It spoils. And I got asked to start playing at Crossroads. I've been here 26 years in July. So probably 27, 8 years ago, something like that, I was playing as a substitute guitar player at Crossroads. They were meeting in the school on Erie Avenue. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. What's it pay? It was just a gig. And I've always had faith, but I had kind of stepped away from it. And those songs that we were playing, those worship songs, churned up in my soul and my heart. And I found myself, like your buddy did, humming those songs and changing it. And suddenly the joy became, wow, I got this thing that I've been doing my whole life, and now I could do something that actually means something. And that's kind of where joy came into it for me, was being able to tie it into being here. Chattel has mentioned it so many times over the years that what a joy it is that we get to do this every week. Mm-hmm. And to be able to impact people to hear God's word and to experience this through this service and through the equipping service and worship music. And that lasts for me. So it's become a very lasting joy. And to be able to be here this long, and when I get too old and crusty, I'll stop doing it, But I got a couple more years in me.
Yeah.
But there is such joy to be able to tie it together, and just to hear Leah play that song with that beautiful video going on. Mm-hmm. That's tying nature and music together. That was so wonderful. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. And That's kind of where I'm at now. That's the joy comes from being able to do this and all the gigs and all the places and traveling. It all came around to that. All prepared me to do this well.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it, man. I really appreciate just the friendship, but also just watching your journey over the time that I've been here and how many times it is, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, just the perfect song, you know, that comes at the right time. Or, you know, Kenny or Neil, you know, they'll text me some worship song they're listening to, and it's like, why'd you text me that? But thank you. Apparently I need that today. You know, so thank you for sharing that journey with us. And so here's your final encouragement. Let Jesus be your joy. Like Bach wrote, Jesu joy. I would love to just pray for us that way right now. God, thank you that you offer us joy. I pray that you would help us to trust the song that you are writing in our lives. To recognize that as the maestro, there are parts that sound like a minor key and parts that come back to a major key and a melody that we don't always understand and a rhythm that we can't always hear. But would you help us to trust the song that you are writing in our lives, even as we listen for ways to connect with you that would glorify you and refresh us, as Bach would say. And Lord, I'm just going to pray for each person who is listening here. Would you show us joy this week in a way that we know that it's from you? And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.